This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith, courts one into right, down the line, it may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans, and welcome to a Tuesday edition of Ruffled Feathers, your Two Birds on a Bat podcast, coming to you as always from the Patio Studios, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere. And as always, brought to you by our good friends at InnovativeCompanies.com, Randy Green and his wonderful daughter, Stephanie. Their continued support means a lot to us. Don't forget, residential, commercial, industrial. It's a name you know and trust. It's InnovativeCompanies.com. They've got construction, heating and cooling, and electric teams ready to go at a moment's notice for your job or your project. 15% off to all first responders and military out there. Just show them the proper identification and take advantage of that discount. It can be a lot of money for big projects, so take advantage of it today. That's InnovativeCompanies.com. We're inching closer to opening day, folks, and anytime I say patios, like when we come to you from the patio studios, it makes me think about the fun times that are going to be had down at Busch Stadium and the surrounding area. Spring training games going on, and things seem to be going swimmingly right now, I would say, for the Cardinals. I don't have any complaints up to this point. Obviously, we've got a couple of injuries that we're dealing with. How that ultimately affects the team and the roster is, it's to be determined, I guess, if you will. But, I'll say that so far, so good, I think. 9-7. It's okay. I've seen some good stuff. I think we're learning about a few players. I think for the St. Louis Cardinals, though, every year I love to talk to my co-hosts that do these shows with me, and I appreciate them all so much and their opinions. We inevitably will get to a conversation, and it's not for today. I think it's probably for next week, but or maybe even the week after. But we wind up talking about a player. A player is probably not fair, but we wind up talking about a player, or we talk about something or some part of the game that's probably the biggest difference maker for the St. Louis Cardinals. A lot of times we'll put that on one player, of course, but, in the past it's been Matt Carpenter. I think we've talked about what he is, but what he is for me is a lightning rod. He's a lightning rod for opinions. He's a lightning rod for fandom. Both ways. I mean, there's lovers out there that he can do no wrong, and then there's people out there that one is, they want him, gagged and quartered, tarred, feathered. I mean, he's, he's a lightning rod for emotion for Cardinal fans. There's always those guys. It's every sport, but he's an interesting one, and I've said this for years. People that have listened to the show religiously, and we appreciate you so much, have heard me say this. So I'll say it again. What has he ever really done? Now, if you want to be mad at him because he's not good enough for you as a player, that's fine. But why the hate? I want some examples. So I challenged everybody today to send us some stuff on our Patterson Tire and Service text line with why you hate the guy or why the hate. And at first, I was going to talk about Jaro Munoz and how it affects the roster. You know what? I don't I don't know that that's a big enough deal for me. Like, the more I think about that, I'm kind of like over it already. We can touch on it today, as I know we will. But the fact of the matter is, my co-host for today, and I want to thank him for filling in for me when I was on vacation, very, very much, did a great job. And, you know, in the world of don't stay away too long or you'll get replaced, that was a prime example of what they're talking about. They wouldn't miss me in a minute, but I do appreciate him doing it. And he sent a post out on Facebook, I guess, sharing the STL Today article about Karp and his opinion about where he's at with the Cardinals. And there's a lot of people that are acting like that's new. Oh, look what a great guy Matt Carpenter is. But he's been that way his whole career. I don't understand the hate. So all the credit in the world and all the thanks in the world to my co-host, Ron Nuttall. So let's bring him in right now. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, Jim. It's good to have you back. I got to thank you, too, for giving me the opportunity to, carry that show that week while we were out. You know, it's I had the luxury of having a couple guys carry one of the shows I did while I was out for an extended period. So I know that I appreciated that, but also, likewise, I appreciate you giving me that opportunity because you could have asked a lot of people to do that.
Oh, what you don't know is I did ask a lot of people. They all said no. No, I'm just kidding.
well, fine. We had record downloads that week.
Yeah, it was record. All right. Hey, seriously, I honestly do appreciate you doing it, and you do a great job, of course. And, I can't thank you enough. You do great work. It's why I always wanted to work with you on this stuff. I think you and I are a lot alike in the fact that I won't put it this way. I won't shame you by saying we're alike, but we do both take certain stances on things. And I think sometimes we take a stance just to learn things about people and learn things about opinions, and doesn't always mean that we are believe what we're saying, but I think we both like to ask food for thought type things. And I was going to talk about Jairo Munoz today, and like I said, we can touch on it, but you sent something out about Matt Carpenter that I've been saying for a long time, and I thought it was a great article. And I think where Matt Carpenter's at today is where we as fans want all athletes to be. Would you agree?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, and look, I'm not a fool. I know that there are other players around all of sports that have this kind of mindset, but it's really refreshing once in a while just to get it reinforced, to hear it again. And you're right, you've been saying this for a long time. Many people have. And I think just seeing the most recent work that has come out, I believe it's Derek Gould's article. I might be wrong about that, but it was a Post-Dispatch article. To hear players recognize and appreciate that they still have an opportunity, but the willingness to like come out and say, look, I need to earn this back. I don't expect it to have it handed to me. You don't hear that often in sports. There are a lot of examples that we can look at all around that, people, athletes, with the ego and they go in and they expecting, to have something handed to them or, get defensive when they're challenged and to see him, it's a big dose of humility and humbleness. And that's why I find myself rooting for Matt Carpenter. And I, at the same time, I've been very critical of his performance of, how he's changed from a hitter to a guy that could lace a double to, a home run hitter in the middle of the lineup. And then now he's back somewhere in the middle of the road, I think. But I really want this to work out for him because I think just having a player like this who's willing to accept the challenge, own up to past performance or lack thereof. I think it's refreshing to hear. And it's a good thing.
Well, I think here's what I would say. I think some people, I'm not going to like say for sure what people are thinking or what they're going to do or whatever, but I think the big thing for me was when I first started talking about this, and I'm assuming we'll get some of this, and I'll check the text line here in a minute, but the truth is I think what people are going to say is pretty simple that, I didn't like the fact that he had to do this and had to do that. And I always say I was never in any formal meetings between he and the manager or the GM. I don't remember ever reading anywhere where he said, I better lead off, or I better do this, or I have to do this, I have to do that. Now, if you don't understand the fact that any competitor is going to tell you, I want to do this, I want it, then you don't understand how sport, how competitive level anything works. I mean, you have to want, like, everybody, like I always say, everybody wants to lead off and play short, or everybody wants to pitch, even when it comes, but not everybody can do it. If he feels he can help the team and he wants to do something, well, isn't that what you want out of somebody, is to say, I would like to do this, or I want it. Like, don't we love guys that say, I want the ball? I mean, of course we always love those guys when they say, I want the ball, and they go out and deliver, right? Well, I think he's delivered quite a bit in his time. I mean, he's a hard rise, hard fast guy for me. You know, he's a love hate guy, it seems like to me. And you know what? There's just certain guys that I don't, is frustration a better word for a guy that when you see how good he can be and when he doesn't do it, does the frustration build, you think, and that causes the problems?
I think that's definitely part of it. You know, and the other thing, you know, Jim, when he was eventually moved to the middle of the order, like, can't remember what year that was. I think it might have been 2017 when they really started putting him in the three hole and in the four, and he was back at leadoff. I think it was just because of a lack of the consistent offense from the rest of the team. It just really put the spotlight on a guy like him who you were counting on to be kind of a pillar in the middle of that lineup, you know, a core player. I always felt Matt Carpenter was better in a role and not relying on him to be that power threat in the middle of the order. That to me was frustrating to see. He was very effective doing what he was doing best and changed it based on where he was placed in the lineup. That's where it comes from for me when I've been frustrated with Matt Carpenter in the past. But I think if I look at it, what he's trying to do today, he's trying to get back to what was working well for him before he was relied on to be a 3-4-5 guy.
Yeah, I would say this. What I see is a guy that came up through the system. He was a guy I remember, I remember him, getting his first cups of coffee and thinking, man, he looks like he can hit to me. Obviously, right. I don't think he was ever accused of being nimble. Like I said, he was never going to be mistaken for a speed demon, but he could hit and he was a competitor. Played hard, played the game hard. Again, if you want to find fault with some of his skill level, that's fine. I have no issue there. Like, if you want to not like him because he's not fast enough for you, or doesn't run the bases good enough for you, or your grandma's cousin's uncle's brother knows somebody that told you he's an asshole, that's fine, I guess. But to my knowledge and everything I've ever seen, is it seems to me like the St. Louis Cardinals, since the day Matt Carpenter's got here, have treated him like a utility player, but not just a utility player. They've treated him like a guy that they could Swiss Army knife and move around on a consistent basis. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he was a guy that played five different positions in a week, but what he was a guy that they said, you know what, we have a need on our roster and we think that we can fulfill that from within or with somebody else. But to do so, what we need is we need Matt to go to second base this year because we've got somebody to play third. Or, you know, we're going to go back to third. Oh, wait a minute. Now we're going to ask you to play first base because we've got blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. I think you're exactly right. You're exactly right, though, Jim. He was in a spot for a few years that was, you know, batting leadoff and playing second base, and that was working really well, right? And then they tried a couple other things. You know, they tried to, hey, you're going to bat cleanup and play third. You're going to bat third. You're going to play first base. And they've tried those things, and those are the things that just haven't seemed to work. And so I think you kind of outlined what has happened over the last 3 or 4 years and kind of where we're at today. And I think that's another part of it that leads to the frustration. They've kind of almost like experimented trying to make him into something that he's just ultimately not. And took him away from a position in the lineup and a role that he was very effective at a point in time.
Yeah. As far as who he is as a person or whatever, guys are ultimately, I think guys – are loved if they play well, right? I mean, you know, I think anybody will support a guy if he plays well. It seems like you'll get some of that blind following love, even if they're an asshole or and been accused of this or that. You know, everybody, you know, you can flip that script all the way around if you want. I mean, I look at what the Astros are going through. You know what nobody talks about and everybody wants to rip on are the Astro fans. You know, and this is kind of getting off topic a little bit, but it is and it isn't kind of, because I think in the end we're all fans, right? And I that's what this is really about today, a fan's opinion of Matt Carpenter, because right, wrong, or indifferent, I think we all know what the front office's opinion of him is. They think he's a guy that they can buy in on. But nobody thinks about the fans of the people that have to deal with the aftermath of when these things go. So there's people out there that love Matt Carpenter, and you know, the people that hate him are gonna throw the fact that he's not been great lately in their face. And then how do you know, if you're a fan, what are you hanging your hat on there? And again, I jokingly say it's like Astros fans. People want to bitch about them. People want to talk like, but the reality of it is, imagine if it was the Cardinals. Just put yourself in Astros fans' place. It's real easy to say you would do this or that, but would you really just not be a fan of the Cardinals anymore if they cheated in 2017? I mean, maybe you wouldn't. Maybe you'd be like, you know what, I'm never going to a game again. I'm embarrassed. Like, whatever. It's hard to just blindly stop. Like, for me, the whole thing would be, I love baseball, right? Like, I love it. So I say this, I love the Cardinals. So if Matt Carpenter is going to be a part of the Cardinals, I want to try to find a way to support Matt Carpenter. You know, like right now, like I've said it before, I could move on from Matt Carpenter and probably be really happy about it. Just on the whole, I'm ready to move on from Dexter Fowler on the whole. And it's not just a what have you done for me lately thing. Like, I'm not ready. Like, even though I'm not sure what I would do with Harrison Bader today, I also understand that Harrison Bader's a young player. I know we have a bunch of experts out there that are going to tell you he's never going to be anything. Well, okay, you might be right. The odds are that you're right. See, there's the problem. The odds are that you're right. But I'm not going to throw him away today. But I'm ready to move on from other guys, because I think the track record shows that, you know, I just don't know how much better than this it gets today. But I love the Cardinals, so I'm going to support them. So, I mean, that puts fans, I think, sometimes in a tight spot. But the hate is what I want to talk about today and why we think there's the hate. So I know we have some stuff coming in on the text line. We asked some people, and I think it'll be fun, Ron, because I think we're both – I think you and I are both kind of in the same place with Carp. So I think if we hit some question or some comment, I'll say they're comments because they certainly are not questions, about Carp from the text line, I think that could lead to some interesting conversations about reality versus perception. So we're going to do that here in just a second. Before we do, though, we're going to ask you to please check us out at twobirdsandabat.com. It's where you can check out our Two Birds bloggers by clicking on their banner there. But more importantly, for everybody that goes to the site there, we're going to ask you to take 30 seconds and click subscribe to the podcast. It takes, again, like 30 seconds, and it's free, and we would greatly appreciate it if you do that. Find us on our social media sites as well. Type in at Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter. Follow us there. Our big push is always Facebook. We're going to ask you to go to Facebook and type in Two Birds on a Bat. Like and follow our Facebook page. And when you see the pinned post, that's the latest show. If you could, please comment on it, like it, and share it. And that helps us reach more Cardinal fans. Two Birds on a Bat Show on Instagram. And, of course, is at lineupmediagroup.fm, home of your radio streaming platform for your mobile device. We appreciate everybody out there that's downloaded that wonderful app and is using your radio. You know, our partners make the show go. Dr. Kristen Jacobs, learn more about her at drkristenjacobs.com and her Ooh La La Spa Anti-Aging and Wellness Center. She wants to remind everybody with the weather turning, as you see more and more people outside, that she certainly hopes that you're putting on your skin care, taking care of your skin, remembering that every day should be Skin Cancer Awareness Day. That's drkristenjacobs.com. To the best barbecue in St. Louis, Adam Smokehouse. Getting ready to meet my good friend Randy Green over there for dinner here coming up. Going to sneak one in before Benji hits town. because when Benji hits town, the table gets a little fuller and it's a little harder to talk and have conversation, but about anything other than baseball. But I do want to thank them for their continued support of our show. In our opinion, it's the best barbecue in St. Louis. And if you guys head on over to Watson Road, open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, you guys will find out for yourself just by checking out anything on the menu. You will not be disappointed. They do box lunch orders, catering. They deliver to certain zip codes as well. But get in there and try it for yourself. You will not be disappointed. Mike and his staff do a wonderful job, and we can't thank them enough. That's Adam Smokehouse, St. Louis. Here's your cue. And, of course, Gators Baseball Academy. You can learn more about them at GatorsBaseballAcademy.com, located in Missouri and Illinois. Proud of the program there that they're building on all the young people that are involved that love the game of baseball. Their four-pillar system is second to none. As we head into the season, there's still some training stuff going on over there. There's a lot of one-on-one lessons that you still see during the season where kids are taking some time out of their schedules to really some of them have really worked hard on their game over the winter, and they want to continue to make sure that they maintain what they've learned. So a lot of good stuff going on there as well. You know, if you have a team out there and you're interested in maybe joining the club, they do take whole teams that come over that typically are looking for that training package. So if you're a young team out there and you want to see what we're all about, that's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Okay, my friend, getting a lot of stuff. So let me ask you your opinion. What do you think the number one thing that we're going to get before? I'm not even going to open it yet. I know it's going off like crazy since I opened up the tab and it's behind my Twitter tab right now. What's going to be the number one complaint about Matt Carpenter today?
That's a good question. I love that question, actually. What's the biggest complaint is going to be the fact that he was extended for 2 more years.
Okay.
That's my prediction.
Okay. Yeah, you know what? If it would have been a few years ago, I would have said the number one complaint would be that he's got to lead off. Which is something, you know, considering his numbers for those years when he let off were unbelievable. I believe for like 3 years or whatever, his numbers were, he was the best leadoff hitter in baseball, which people can't equate that because he doesn't steal bases, but whatever. I ask everybody. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. You know, when he was leading, like hitting tons of doubles. I think the number one thing we're going to see is the fact that his contract prohibited them from improving the club. Because I saw a lot of that. So, yeah, again, not his fault. Yeah. I know that all the people out there that are upset about that, if their boss came to them today, and on all the people maybe that are like my age, maybe in their 50s and know that you know they've been working a good solid 20, 25 years, their boss came to them today and offered them a raise, they'd look at the boss and go, you know what? I'm just not as good at this as I used to be. I'm gonna go ahead and decline your raise, and I'm going to go ahead and put myself back out in the workforce and let you replace me with a younger, better model because that's the right thing to do. So,
That's awesome. I should try that.
Yeah. I mean, I love – that's my favorite – you know, that is my favorite thing when people – I say all the time, what'd you want the man to do? You know, who does that? And then you'll get some people out there that'll go, oh, come on, it's different. He's made millions of dollars. I'm like, I don't care how much money he's made. So he's built differently than you and I because he's made, in fact, he's built even more competitive than you and I. What do you mean? I mean, every one of these guys thinks they can play to their 50, you know? I mean, so, oh, geez.
Yeah, Ricky Henderson almost did.
Yeah, I was going to say, for Pete's sakes, Tom Brady might. Okay. All right. I promise you, I have not looked at it yet. All right. Time now. Let's click on it. Let's take it on over to the Patterson Tire and Service text line. They're a whole lot more than a tire store. They specialize in automotive repair, as well as that quick phone call you can make to 618-797-6711 and talk to them about your tires, brakes. And now, like I said, since they're a whole lot more than a tire store, you can expand that out to tell them what's going on with your car. Maybe they can give you some advice, get you into the shop, take care of that check engine light or just that knocking, whatever's going on with your car, you can trust them. Been in their community a long, long time, located at 3718 Highway 111 in Granite City, Illinois. Known that family personally for forever, and I've always taken my cars there. And, of course, people are going to say, well, of course, Jim, you've known them forever. Well, guess what? You know, I'm not rich, And I can't afford to take my car somewhere if they don't do a good job, if it's not reasonable, if it's not done right, if I can't trust them. I think we all know that when you're friends with somebody, that makes it even worse. And the fact that they've had my business forever should tell you. Never had an issue. You know, if there are issues, and I know there are, everybody, they admit it. There's sometimes things go a little haywire. They're going to do what they got to do to make it right, and that's why they're special. Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. One more time, that phone number, 618-797-6711. Okay. Well.
Hey, Jim, I want to say one thing before you get to that text.
Okay.
So part of my motivation for just posting that article up was you said this word earlier about haters. You know, the constant haters that we see. And it's, I know it's not just limited to Matt Carpenter. Part of posting that up, and again, you're right, it's not something we haven't heard before from him, but it's just kind of like to throw it out there. Like, you know, here's something positive, and we should want it, how lucky we'd be if we had half of our roster with this kind of mindset that was willing to earn something back instead of expecting it to just happen, right? And so that's why that's what motivated me to post it up. Because I don't always post articles up on these Facebook groups, but I you know, and it's not just this one in particular. They're all the same. You know, you have your pocket of people that are just negative, negative, negative. And I'm certainly not a homer, but this is one thing I think everybody would just take a breath, read it, and it's also to address a lot of the headline barkers. You know, the folks that don't bother reading the article, they just bark at the headline. So that's where it came from.
Yeah, I would say that don't mistake. I would say this about anybody. I wouldn't mistake anything, my opinion of Matt Carpenter today, as far as if I want him on the team, playing bait, whatever. I wouldn't mistake that for the fact that I hate him. You know, and I would say there's some people out there that would say, well, I don't hate him. And I'm like, boy, you couldn't tell by the tack that you take with how you describe who he is.
Right.
But the truth of that is, for most people, would be, well, I'm just saying he's just not very good or whatever. And that's fine. Like I said, we can go down that path every day as far as whether a guy should or shouldn't be rewarded for time served, so to speak. But, you know, looking through these texts that have come in, they're all over the place. There's so many. I mean, he's such a lightning rod. I mean, I say it all the time jokingly, if you ever want to get a big reaction to a show, put a guy on there that people like to hate or like to defend. And he's a good one. Over the years, I will tell you, most of the shows that we've done that center around Matt Carpenter have been some of the biggest ones we've ever done. You know, it's funny, you would think with our connection with Yachty through Benji, sometimes we've had Yachty on the show. We've had Yachty on different times to talk about things, and those shows aren't as popular as you think. And I think it's because there's no haters. You know what I mean? It's like everybody's like, oh, I love, you know, da, da, da. So anyway,
right.
So let's get to it. The bottom line is they're all over the place, but everything I think that we've talked about is out there. I think this is a good one. And this is from, let's see, does she mention her name? She does mention her name. That's how I know it's a she. Where's it at? Linda. Okay. Hi guys. Love the show. This ought to be an interesting topic for today. I would say that my hatred for Matt Carpenter started when he decided to move to third base. I don't understand why he couldn't play first base anymore. What do you think the problem is there, Linda? I mean, it's pretty okay. I brought that one up first because, again, I think I brought this up earlier. I don't think Matt Carpenter has ever. I'm not in there. I think it's pretty evident if you go back and look at the rosters that the Cardinals had constructed that all of his moves over time. And again, Ron, please tell me if you can think of or have any examples of where I'm wrong in this. I can't find one example of where a move that was made by him defensively, especially to third base, and everybody knows he doesn't have the greatest arm in the world. Not one of those moves appear to me to be driven by the player, but if you just do a little homework and look at the rosters, they're driven by the way the Cardinals wanted to shape the roster for that season. Am I wrong at all?
No, you're not. And what a big thing that facilitated his move to third, if you remember, is that they were desperately trying to get Jose Martinez. They were trying to get his bat in the lineup. And so they tried him out at first base. And if everybody recalls, that's why Carpenter made that shift back over to third. Now ultimately, he ended up back at first. Now we have Goldschmidt. But that's what I think she might be referring to. But the lineup wasn't working. And you're right, Jim, it's the construction of the roster. And the one hitter that they had to find a place for, because they had to get his bat in there, was Jose Martinez.
Okay, here's another one. Kind of touching on it. This is from Samuel. My issue with Matt Carpenter is you guys are going to have to point out one thing to me that he did to earn that extension. That extension now is coming back to roost. He's not the only one, mind you. My hate is not directed just at Matt Carpenter. It could be more at the front office, Matt Carpenter, Dexter Fowler, Mike Leake, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously we're talking about Carp today. I would say this person, obviously, I think like most, has questioned some decisions that have come from the front office, decisions of money that they have decided to give certain people and then not give people. The whole Jack Flaherty thing is a discussion for another day, of course. But I would say that this is interesting for me. What did Matt Carpenter do to earn that extension? Okay. So my guess is that extension, correct me if I'm wrong, that was signed in – when did he sign that extension?
It was an offseason between 2018 and 19. I want to say it was like January, February maybe.
Yeah. What? And let's look at his numbers that year. So it was after 2018 he signed it, right?
Right. And it was – you know, he had that hot streak in the middle of the year. You know, he came out in May and – April, May, and he was terrible, and then went on that tear. Then we had the whole salsa thing and all that stuff.
So. Right. So in 18, he had we can talk about it all day long, but like OPS, I think is a good barometer to find out what type of hitter we have here. I know OPS plus is another good one. In 2018, he was 897. You know, and here's my thing, and this is what I'm going to say on this, and I don't know your thoughts on this. If you want to start looking at money and how much money certain guys are getting, I understand what it is, and it's quote unquote clogging up your roster or whatever right now. But the truth is, in 2018, you know, he had an 897 OPS, and I want to say he made. Why doesn't this thing go back? I know in 2019 he made like $14,000, and he made $18,000 in 2020, and is going to make $18,000 now. There's a lot of guys making a lot more money than that, and some of them are better than him. Jason Hayward makes more money than him. The St. Louis Cardinals, basically, in my opinion, probably, how do I say that? Are you sure he signed that then? Or did he sign it in 19? I'm just trying to figure out. I just want to be accurate about this because I'm trying to sit here and figure out why anybody would have an issue. He signed it in 2019 during the season, didn't he? I mean, I know that he had an awful start in 18, and he had anybody out there, I'm sure they'll let us know if we're wrong, but I think his September was atrocious as well. I'm about 1,000% sure of that. He actually was ninth in MVP voting in 18. So, you know, signing him to an extension, I don't think is crazy at all. When they did it, maybe up for debate. And that, I think...
Yeah, so it was April 11th, 2019. So the season had just started.
Okay, so there we go. Okay, so hence the why did they do it? I mean, what in the world could you have learned from Matt Carpenter by April 11th? I don't know. I'm going to say this to this person. Okay, I understand what you're saying. How do we fault a guy? Ron, am I off base at all? And how the hell do we fault a guy that accepted a contract extension from somebody that wanted to give it to him? I mean,
no, not at all. I this is not on the player whatsoever. Not in my opinion.
I don't know. I don't know what
this, Jim, me at that time when that extension was done, it puzzled me, one, because it didn't have to happen. And I think it does have a lot to do with the timing, because the Cardinals still had control over him up until the end of this last year. And I think they might have had even a team option for 21. So they could have walked away from everything after the end of this year. But yet they still had a team option for 21. So I think, I don't know how many fans know that. I'm assuming some of them do. But I think that's where the frustration, most of it came from me, is just the timing of it. I thought it was not necessary. I know he's coming off a hot 2 or 3 months of 2018, but you saw how he started and how he ended it. And I think with the control they already had over him for potentially three more years, I just don't know why the extension was necessary. It to me, it felt like rewarding past contribution, which I guess there's nothing wrong with that. That's how you're going to do it. But it just doesn't seem like the way the game's going and the way contracts are dealt out, that you're not necessarily paid on past performance. But to me, personally, it was the timing that I was most frustrated with. I didn't think it was necessary.
Yeah, okay, I found something here. So he had signed a six-year contract for $52 million in 2014. So basically, from 2014 to 2019, Matt Carpenter averaged $8 million a year. And I would challenge most people to go back to that time frame and look at his stats and say that, you know, they didn't get their money's worth out of Matt Carpenter. You know, was he as good a player as you wanted him to be at certain things? Well, maybe not. But considering the money that's being thrown around out there on guys that they've gotten no production from. So again, it's going to come down to what have you done for me lately? And that's what the majority of these techs are coming in as. And I think the issue is when you have a guy that has as bad a year as he had last year, as far as being not being able to be counted on. And I know there's people that'll point to a couple things he did that weren't, you know, like, again, I love certain things about people, but, you know, people will say, well, you know, he still had a 726 OPS, Jim, or whatever. I mean, it wasn't like he was completely useless. And it's like, well, okay. The bottom line is, the thing that's going to haunt the Cardinals from a fan standpoint is in that contract was a $2 million buyout of the option in 2020. So the Cardinals could have walked away from Matt Carpenter this year for $2 million. So he would not even be on the roster this year or next year, I guess, right? And then supposedly the St. Louis Cardinals could have taken that $18 million and went out and did what? I mean, what could they have done with that $18 million? I guess everybody's so convinced they would have spent it. Would that have anything to do realistically with would that have anything to do with Nolan Arenado and their pursuit of him? Because that's I'm seeing that a lot too. Matt Carpenter's contract, yeah. I mean, I've seen no less than 15 texts. I'm trying to find one where somebody mentions their name because I love to mention their name. Yeah, here's one. Hi, guys. Love the show. Ron thought you'd here. Hey, how about this? Hey, Ron thought you did a great job while Jim was away. Jim, glad to have you back. Hope you hit him straight. The shanks are a terrible thing to get. Ha ha. Yes, I would say that my biggest problem with Matt Carpenter right now is him blocking the Cardinals' ability to trade for Nolan Arenado. Maybe that's I know there's more to it than this, and maybe there's something you know that I don't. But that is where I think some of the hatred from fans come from. Okay, so I think he's given us a general overview of some fans. I don't know that he necessarily believes that. But your opinion, is Matt Carpenter why Nolan Arenado's not a Cardinal?
It could have been one of many factors that led to no deal really getting too far. I wouldn't stick that, Jim, and say, hey, that's the reason right there. That's the cause. You know, we got this guy, but and it prevented us from getting this guy. Do I think it would have made the way to acquire Nolan Arenado a little more clear and a little bit more lighter on his salary for 2 years? Sure. But that's no guarantee. So I would say that I think that could have been a contributing factor, but ultimately I can't say that that's the reason.
You know, my question would be this. If the St. Louis Cardinals had wrote out Matt Carpenter, not extended him, I think everybody just assumes that everything would have played out the exact same way, and I have no reason not to believe that. So let's say they don't sign him to the extension. He has the awful year, and the Cardinals buy him out. Let me ask you this question. What seems more Cardinal to you as a Cardinal fan? And I say this being ignorant. What seems more Cardinal to you? Oh, we're going to buy Matt Carpenter out and say, see you later, and trade for Nolan Arenado? Or, hey, we can bring Matt Carpenter back on the cheap now and give him a chance to bring it back and put him on an incentive-laden deal like we signed Wainwright to last year. You know, he's 32, 33 years old. Nobody's going to be banging down the door for Matt Carpenter. He played for the Cardinals. He's comfortable here. I'm sure he'd love to stay here. Why not bring him back on an incentive-laden deal like we did Waino and give him a chance? So let me ask you guys honestly, what do you think was more Cardinal? Buying him out for $2 million and trading for a guy making $30 million plus a year? Or taking advantage of that situation with Matt Carpenter, signing him to an incentive deal, and now listen, probably then being able to maybe go out and get somebody lesser, but probably not Nolan Arenado. I mean, again, Nolan Arenado might get traded to the Cardinals tomorrow, and I would be ecstatic. Okay, I still maintain that there's a way that can happen. But the truth of the matter is, what seems more logical to you as a fan? I don't know. I mean,
yeah, I think the first example you threw out there, Jim, you know, me without knowing anything, without knowing for sure, if I looked into it, like my, you know, Ron's crystal ball here, I think that the first example you laid out probably would have been the more likely, that, you know, they do bring him back at a reduced rate, with incentives, to kind of let himself get reestablished. That feels very Cardinal-like to me.
Question for you. I know you. I don't think either one of us are going to be mistaken for stat heads, but what stat would probably tell you a lot about a guy's offensive abilities? For is it OPS? Is it OPS for you? Basically, curious enough.
Yeah, there's two of them that I've been looking at, and this is a product of you having Mo's on and me being able to talk to him a couple weeks ago. There's two that I'm looking at more and more. And again, it's like establishing a context for it. And that is weighted runs created plus, OPS. I say three: OPS, OPS plus, and weighted runs created plus. I look at
which weighted runs created plus and OPS plus are basically the same thing. They're just done by different.
They are. They're basically
They have minuscule things that they figure differently in there. Okay, so what I would ask is, somebody asked this question. I feel bad for not giving the credit, but somebody asked yesterday. It might have been Ben Cerruti. It may have been Brendan Schaefer. I can't remember who it was. It was somebody had asked what they think. It was Ben, I think. What OPS? What OPS number dictates a stud hitter or an elite hitter or something like that? It got me thinking a little bit because I was curious. Matt Carpenter is a career 835. Okay. Interestingly enough, one of his lowest OPS seasons was a year he had 95 walks. But he didn't hit as well as he had. You know what's interesting? 95 walks in 2014 led the league. Isn't that interesting? But he had 95 walks that year, and his on-base percentage, while being 375, was down from the previous year simply because he didn't hit as well. I mean, people say batting average doesn't matter. Well, I would argue that it does. His on-base percentage struggled because he walked more and hit less at a different clip that didn't offset it, obviously. But the truth is, every other year besides that year, and I'm not going to count his first year where he played in seven games, but every other year his OPS has been in the upper 800s. There was a couple in the lower 800s. And then last year, obviously, 726. So that gives him a career OPS of 835. I did a little research just out of curiosity. I'm going to give you some other... If everybody thinks that OPS is an important number, which to my knowledge, most people do, okay? I'm going to give you some guys that are neck and neck with him in career OPS. And, you know, you tell me your thoughts. Some of them are interesting. Some of them you're going to go, oh, a different era, Jim, come on, whatever. And that's fine. But, you know, Jose Ramirez, who everybody loves, is an 837. Matt Carpenter is an 834. Justin Turner, who everybody loves, is an 837. Eddie Murray is a Hall of Famer at 835. Dante Bichette was 834. Roberto Clemente, 834. Aramis Ramirez, remember him, the Cardinal killer from the Cubs? Was terrible in Pittsburgh and went to the Cubs, became a pretty good player. 833.
Yeah.
Paul O'Neill, 833. You know, there's some interesting names on this list that I think people would look back and say they were pretty darn good players. Francisco Lindor is an 840. Interesting. I don't know. You have any thoughts on his career OPS versus some guys? Just to give you guys some thought on where it's at, okay? Like, I'll give you an example. Some guys that are still playing today that I think I would say have some pretty, you know, Anthony Rendon has an 858. And everybody thinks he's the greatest thing since sliced bread, right? I think you're getting into some serious career numbers. Christian Yelich, 874. To me, you know, when you're in the upper eights for a career and you're at nine or over, you're a pretty good hitter. Some guys we don't like are good offensive guys. Some guys we don't like, Ryan Braun's an 8-9. Chris Bryant's over a nine. He's a nine. So I think in context, we can kind of see that Matt Carpenter may not have been as bad offensively as some people would like us to believe. Would you agree?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, it's looking at just the most recent year, I think is what most people are fixated on. And you know what we hear about baseball, how people view players, how they analyze players, is what they're projected to do going forward. And of course, if the most recent performance is not where he's typically been, and people are going to think that's what they're getting going forward. So I think this is the mindset people are in.
You know, the guy on here that surprises the shit out of me, I think everybody's going to go, huh. I mean, you can look at some names on this list and go, that's interesting. Or I think it's shocking to me. You know, Vladimir Guerrero being a 931 career is interesting to me because he was pretty well known as a free swinger. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
These things are interesting to me across the board. Just for context for everybody out there, Stan Musial was a 975. Mark McGwire is a 982. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting for sure. Mike Trout's the closest to a career one as you can get. He's a 0.9999. And then obviously, you know, the guys that are in that elite class that are one and over, obviously led by Babe Ruth, followed by Williams, then Gehrig, Bonds, Jimmy Fox, Greenberg, Hornsby. And then, like I said, Mike, the modern day elite hitter, Mike Trout, is at 0.9999. And for all the haters out there, Manny Ramirez, 0.9960, is right behind Trout. Now, of course, people are going to go, oh, PEDs are okay. I got you. But I just find the numbers, yeah. I just find the numbers in comparison to the hate interesting. Now, so let's finish with this. I'm going to go to one more text because I think maybe this is it. I found this, I'm just scrolling through and this was a good one because it's obviously a listener. Didn't give their name, but they're obviously a listener. Where to go. Here it is. Jimbo, been listening to the show for a long time. I'm not sure if you're a Carpenter defender or not, But the truth is, you have brought this topic up numerous times before. Do you like the guy or not? let's say this. I don't hate him. I just think, like everything else, that there comes a time where you wish things would work out perfectly for your, he's not my hero, but I say your heroes, right? Like, it wouldn't it be nice if everybody could ride off into the sunset at the right time? Here's my thing on this, and I don't know where you're at on this, Ron, but it's not a perfect science. And anybody that played in this game wants to play as long as they can. And you as a fan, me as a fan, we sit back here and go, oh, it's time, man. It's time to hang it up. And we, you know, to this day, I think one of my, you know, it's not baseball related, but to this day, probably one of my least favorite things in the world is that Michael Jordan played for the Wizards. I'd love to hear your thought on this, Ron. Everybody in there has like certain things they wish they could ask people, right? I would love to sit down with Michael Jordan. I wouldn't ask him why he went and played baseball. Everybody would probably do that. I would ask him this question. If you had it to do all over again, would you have not played for the Wizards? Because we want our heroes to go out a certain way. I would rather if him have went out, that right. picture of him with his hand in the air and the Utah Jazz guy off to the side, it should have ended that way for me, not in a Wizards uniform playing for Club Scrub. I think they're all like that, right? To some degree?
Yeah, sure. I mean, in a way, and as a fan, yeah, I want to see Yadier Molina as an active player in a uniform and it be a Cardinal uniform when it's all said and done. For the longest time that, you know, of course, probably 97% of Cardinal fans would have loved to have seen Albert do the same thing. Maybe not 10 years later, but we would have loved to have seen the same thing. And it's an interesting thing you bring up about Michael Jordan, because obviously I was from, you know, the area and I grew up a Bulls fan. So that would be an interesting answer.
It's funny. Babe Ruth, I think his last game he ever played, he was 4-for-4 with 3 home runs, drove in 6 runs. But a shell of himself playing for the Braves, right. How many guys get to live the life Derek Jeter's lived? Very few. Very few.
Yeah, very few.
It doesn't always, I can't remember who said it, but, nothing ends great. If it did, it wouldn't end. Something like that. There's some saying like yeah. that.
I guess to kind of sum up my thoughts on just how I feel about the whole Carpenter situation here that we've discussed today. And that is, most of my frustration has never really lied with the player. It's been with the organization. And it's been that way because the organization needed Matt Carpenter to be a middle of the order core player, a run producer, and, experimented and tried that. They didn't build a good enough team around him. So they expected and needed Matt Carpenter to be something that he just wasn't. And I think our expectations, because the Cardinals have put their expectations there for him, is kind of out of balance. And if we recognize Matt Carpenter for what he is right now, and I think he's a role player on the team, I think they need production from a lot of other areas. And he can play a role. But if you rely on him as your big run producer, your masher in that lineup, that's where everything's disconnected and that's where it's falling short. So most of it for me, it lies on the organization and the way the rosters were built, not necessarily the player. So that's just kind of where I'm at with him.
Yeah, I'm not comparing, obviously, Matt Carpenter to Babe Ruth. So for all you people out there that may bring that up, please know that I'm not. Also, I was able to click on something here and see that was not his last game. It's reported a lot as his last game. He went on to play in 5 more games, go 0-for-13, and that's when he had had enough. So just for clarification purposes. It was truly his last hurrah, though. So, and you know what? Here's the great thing about sports. As far as I'm concerned, it's the last game the guy ever played. Just like you can believe whatever you want to believe and you can say whatever you want to say, in the end, I hope for everybody involved in this thing that, I'd like to believe that for everybody involved in this thing, that you want to remember Matt Carpenter for the great stuff that he did do for the Cardinals. Cause you know, he did have some nice seasons for the Cardinals. And I think in the end, and you know what, the pro players, you don't get shit for this, but I think he has done everything they've asked him to do. How can you hate the guy? That's just my opinion, but I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's an interesting topic. He's, I mean, is there a more lightning rod figure on this team than him?
Dexter Fowler may be the closest, but no, I think Matt Carpenter generates a ton of discussion. He has for over a year now. Jim, I want to throw out one positive thing here.
Okay. Please do.
And it has to do with our current team and just looking at stats over the spring. And I know I take spring stats for what they are, and it's a small sample size, and I understand the competition's different. But in all of baseball, right? Well, I guess it's the National League. I'm just flipping over the National League. As far as position players go, the Cardinals have 8 of the top 15 hitters right now, if you're looking at OPS.
Who's the first?
So a lot of the young guys are producing.
Who's number one?
First is Will Myers of San Diego.
No, for the Cardinals.
Austin Dean.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Under the radar guy, right?
Yep. And Bader is number 7. Lane Thomas, 9. Max Schrock, 10. Sosa, 11. Ravello, 12. And you have Edmund at 14.
Where's Dylan Carlson and all that?
He is right behind Dean. He is 3rd in the league.
Okay, I think you left his name off.
I'm looking at that. I understand their spring stats, and I don't overdo it in my head, but that's a little positive. You're just looking at things today.
Well, good stuff for sure. I will say this. Listen, you're free to not like, you're free to hate, you're free to do whatever. You're free to be unhappy. I never tell anybody how to fan. I may get upset and say you're ignorant or say you're stupid or whatever. I don't know that I've done that in a long time, but I'm sure I've done it at one time or another. I've went back and thought some of the things I've said or felt were stupid or dumb as I try to mature as a fan, if that's a thing. But, he's an interesting player, man. And I got to tell you, just like in anything, I think the Cardinals, if Matt Carpenter, let's face it, if you look at the way things are, Matt Carpenter's a career 835 OPS guy. Well, I promise you that if Matt Carpenter's OPS this year is 835 or better, he will be a help to the St. Louis Cardinals. I mean, I don't know that there's really any other way to look at it. Do you?
No. I mean, I'd take that today if you told me that's how the year's going to end up.
Yeah, I think we all would. I don't know that they got a ton of better options. I think the whole Nolan Arenado thing really magnified it, because I think people view it as, if it wasn't him. Surprisingly, I'm going to finish with this. Now listen, there were a lot of texts. I didn't read every one of them. I was surprised I didn't, while glancing through them, see anybody say that he's blocking Tommy Edman. That was interesting. I think people have come to the realization that Tommy Edman's going to play a ton, just probably play different positions every game, which I'm okay with because he's shown he can do it. So I think at least people are being realistic about that. So good stuff, Ron. I hope fans enjoyed the show today. I want to thank everybody for joining us. Before we get away from the segment, I do want to thank our friends at Patterson Tire and Service. 618-797-6711, located at 3718 Highway 111 in Granite City, Illinois. Remember, they're a whole lot more than tire stores. They specialize in automotive repair, as well as, obviously, tires and brakes. They've been doing it for years. They're going to continue to do it for years. If you haven't tried them out, they're just asking for an opportunity for your business. It's real easy to do. Just give them a call. Talk to them about a quote. Let them know you heard about it here on Two Birds on a Bat. The Ruffled Feathers edition means a lot to us. But say hi to Brian, Kevin, and the whole gang. It's a great family-owned business. It's been in their community for a long, long time. That's Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. Special thanks, as always, to Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com and his continued support of the show. Make sure you check them out. Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. It's the name you know and trust. That's Randy Green and InnovativeCompanies.com. As always, we come to you from the Patio Studios, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere. Won't be long. We'll all be having a cocktail, enjoying some sunshine, and hanging out pregame at Patio's. Don't forget drchristianjacobs.com. Her continued support of our show means so much to us. Ooh La La Spa Anti-Aging and Wellness Center has stuff going on that you may have been thinking about doing for yourself. So check her out. Find out what she's doing. And as she always says, remember, every day should be Skin Cancer Awareness Day. To Adam's Smokehouse, it's the best barbecue in St. Louis, folks. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. Get over to Watson Road, open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. You guys will love anything you try on the menu. They deliver to certain zip codes. They do big box lunch orders, and, of course, they cater. That's Adam's Smokehouse, St. Louis. Here's your cue. To learn more about us, it's twobirdsonabat.com. Subscribe to the show. Check out our Two Birds bloggers at Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter, Two Birds on a Bat on Facebook, Two Birds on a Bat Show on Instagram, and, of course, at lineupmediagroup.fm, home of your radio streaming platform for your mobile device. For Ron and myself, this is Ruffled Feathers from Two Birds on a Bat. Let's go, Birds!
Go, Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of lightupmedia.fm.